We welcome you back to Joe Schlaper Stadium on your Saturday afternoon Class B State Tournament baseball in the loser's bracket between the Cold Spring Springers and the Meadsville Mudhens. Pretty cool little national anthem we've seen here, Reese. I did not hear who Dick Jankowski, our public address announcer, the Polish Eagle, said those two men on the trumpet and clarinet were, but that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it sounds like a little, just a couple of local guys grabbing their instruments, little brass, little woods. It was good, really good. A little take me out to the ball game with it. Good way to start your day.
Can't beat it. As starting lineups for us, Reese Hemish, take it away.
For the Springers, they are going with the continuity lineup here for the fourth consecutive state tournament game. It'll be the exact same order for the Springers. Leading off, playing center field, Brian Hansen. Batting second, the second baseman, Garrett Fox. Batting third, playing shortstop, Jordan Barth. Batting fourth for the Springers in right field is Joe Dempsey. Batting fifth, the catcher, Drew Bolson. Batting sixth, the third baseman, Drew Van Looy. Batting seventh and in left field will be Brad Olson. Batting eighth for the Springers, playing first base, Jaron Terrace. And batting ninth will be the designated hitter, Alex Jungles. He'll be doing the hitting for the pitcher, Nick Pennick. For Meadsville, leading off in right field will be Joey Werner.
Whoa, batting... Reese, Neil Broughton's throwing out the first pitch here.
Wow, I'm going to shut up now.
1980 U.S. Olympian, Stanley Cup champion, voted the greatest Minnesota hockey player of all time. Roseau, Minnesota's own Neil Broughton throwing out the first pitch. Sorry to interrupt, but I figured you'd probably want to see that.
I did, and I believe he is the only NHL player to have a gold medal, a national championship in college, and a Stanley Cup champion.
That's him. That's Neil.
He had a Hobie, too. Unbelievable. Yeah. Not bad. Thank you for interrupting me. I was wondering what the cause of that was, and it was worth it.
Hey, Reese, I'll always interrupt you.
Yes, you will.
Go ahead.
For Meadsville, once again, leading off in right field, Joey Werner. Batting second, the center fielder, Matt Vanderbosch. Batting third, playing third base for Meadsville, Derek Marks. Batting cleanup, the first baseman, Austin Ledoux. Batting fifth, the designated hitter, Nate Hammes. Batting sixth for Meadsville, catcher, Max Morris. Batting seventh will be the second baseman, Brian Sprout. Batting eighth, the shortstop, Max Gamm. Batting ninth for Meadsville is the left fielder, Brendan McKevitt. And doing the pitching for Meadsville is Connor Malcolm.
Thank you, Reese. Nice work with the starting lineups as we have the Springers and the Mudhens ready to rumble here on your Saturday afternoon. As it should be, you know, we talked a little bit in the pregame, but four teams basically, and all the teams left in B-ball who, you know, when they put their goals together for the season, it's playing on Monday. It's who's going to be there on Monday to play in the state championship game. And these teams are, you know, thus far, they're having their opportunity.
Yeah, I doubt any of these B teams left are really sitting there in May going, okay, we really just want to make a state tournament this year. We haven't been doing that lately. I mean, these guys are here all the time. So it might not even be to the point of trying to get to a final weekend for them. I can honestly see all four of these teams looking at each other in May and saying, we got to go win a state championship here.
It is Brian Hansen into the batter's box for Cold Spring. He'll get the first look at Connor Malcolm, the starting pitcher for Meadsville. Malcolm rocks and fires as we are underway. That pitch in there for a strike. Start of the game, 1 minute late, 1-0-1. But when you got Neil Broughton throwing out the first pitch here in Shakopee, you can eat that minute a little bit as the one-strike pitch missing down and away. As I think we'll reference that probably the entire afternoon that we got to see Neil Broughton here today. As right back is Connor Malcolm's pitch. His 1-1 pitch hit on the ground towards third. Deep play in the hole at short. As Max Gamm throw across the diamond, little low and tough to dig out for Austin Ledoux and Hansen aboard to get things going for Cold Spring here in the first inning.
Tough one for Gamm right in that perfect 5.5 hole between third and short. He probably should have known with Hansen speed, he got to come up a little quicker with that. Might have had the play with a good throw, but it looks like they are going to give Gamm an error on that one to start off this game.
So Hansen, the leadoff man, he gets on for Cold Spring. That brings Garrett Fox to the plate as they did go air right there. It's funny, in the couple Class C games that I've broadcast thus far, which we will also allude to throughout the broadcast here, Reese, the scoring has been a little liberal right there. That was not exactly an easy play, and Gamm get busted with the air.
Yeah, you know, the what's the famous Tim McCarver quote? Sometimes you're penalized by your ability. So maybe they're looking at the B players and saying, these are plays B guys should be making and see a little different.
You're a B player, make that play. As one strike, the count to Fox, who did square to bunt and pulled back, and the pitch was in there for a strike. Garrett squares again, and this bunt is nicely up the first base line. It'll be fielded by Malcolm, underhand flip, to the first baseman who retreats to cover Austin Ledoux. Hansen moves to second as a nice sacrifice right there by Garrett Fox.
Really nice job by Fox. The combination of the Springers here plus the Rockies game last night kind of showing the Cold Spring guys they can do some bunting. They can play some small ball.
As Jordan Barth into the batter's box, Barth hands down the nicest numbers, I guess you'd say, through Cold Spring through the first three games of the tournament, Reese?
Yeah, 9 for 16 so far for Barth. Him and Joe Dempsey, the next hitter for the Springers, have been just doing everything.
9 for 16, so over 500 in the state tournament for Jordan Barth, who looks at a strike from Connor Malcolm. The one-strike pitch from the Meesville right-hander, that is hammered deep left field. Back and looking up, and it's 2-0 Cold Spring on a bomb from Jordan Barth. Stay hot, young man. 2-0 Springers.
Yeah, tough pitch there by Malcolm. He gets caught trying to throw one inside to Barth. One strike on him. You know Barth is going to be trying to swing on that to not fall in a two-strike hole. So really got to be careful there, and he did not. Jordan Barth did not miss that one, and I think he knew it too. I think we did as well. That thing was crushed.
The 2-0 early advantage for Cold Spring. You bunt Hansen over, and turns out you didn't need to give up an out right there, Reese, because you got Barth going big fly over the 355 sign in left center field.
Yeah, tough one there. You know, you lose 6-5 last week, so I'm sure you're thinking another pitching battle. Let's do some small ball. Let's get some runs early, hopefully, and Jordan Barth just with the boring old two-run home run.
So the early lead staked to pitcher Nick Pennock for Cold Spring as Barth with the home run. Cold Spring's third home run from a third different player. Third home run and for the second different player for the Springers as Hansen has two home runs for Cold Spring. As Barth now into the home run column. Two wide ones to Joe Dempsey. He'll be followed by Drew Bolson for Cold Spring here in the first inning. As Connor Malcolm's 2-0 pitch to Dempsey, that's missing inside, and it moves our count to 3-0. Cold Spring had Hansen reach on there. Fox bunting him to second base, and Jordan Barth with a two-run home run. 3-0 pitch to Dempsey is in there for a strike. Makes our count 3-1. As Malcolm right back, his 3-1 pitch to Joe Dempsey. That is hit in the air to left center field. How far is this one going to go? Back is the center fielder. That ball is off the top of the fence. A high bounce, not playable by Matt Vanderbosch. And it's a home run and a double as Dempsey misses going back to back by what, Reese? 2-3 feet?
I mean, that one was, if this is a 12-foot wall maybe here in Shakopee, this thing had to have been 10.5 feet up to one of the deepest parts of the park. And just another great piece of hitting there by the Springers. Again, Malcolm just kind of, you know, throwing one early, just trying to get something over. 3-1 count there, not trying to walk Dempsey, but instead Joe almost takes him out of the park.
So after the Barth homer, Dempsey doubles. As Cold Spring's cooking here in the first, once again, already with a run in, as Bolson looks at a first pitch ball. Two runs in already for the Springers, as they're looking to add on. Center fielder Matt Vanderbosch, I always watch the outfielders, as you do too, Reese, and on the home run for Barth, the left fielder Brendan McKevitt, he put his head down and just kind of jogged back to the fence. Vanderbosch had no chance at catching that ball, as he just kind of watched it as well as these guys seeing it fly a little bit off the bats of the Springers.
Yeah, it's tough for the starting pitcher, Malcolm. You face four batters to start the game, and you give up an error, a bomb, a home run, and the only out you get is off a sack bunt.
1-1 pitch is smashed by Bolson as he hits it right to the shortstop, Max Gamm, as Gamm now throws behind Joe Dempsey. Dempsey ends up getting in a rundown long enough to allow Drew Bolson to advance to second base. So Bolson ends up at second on the fielder's choice, and a nice job right there by Dempsey, Reese, hanging up in that pickle long enough to keep it as is.
Kind of got away with one, though. Bolson, if you know you're going to go to second on that one, you kind of got to put your head down, and you better know you're going to get there. Dempsey was about to get tagged, and Bolson takes off for second, almost running into a second out himself. And I think we saw a little bit last week, Curb. These Springers kind of running into a couple outs here so far in this tournament.
They had two guys thrown out at home in the first inning last week in the semifinal matchup with Moorhead.
Yep.
As some base running blunders for Cold Spring. As they get out of this one scot-free, basically, as Bolson is at second base and Drew Van Looy into the batter's box. As the 1-0 offering to Van Looy, that is in there for a strike to even us up at 1-1. He's Reese Hemish. I'm Kirby Hemish with you here. Springer Baseball on your Saturday today. Cold Spring and their faithful hoping to get to two games here. They win, they play again, they lose, it's over. As the 1-1 pitch is popped up, over for a look, as first baseman Austin Ledoux. Ledoux, right near Tim Ilias in the first base coaching area, will make the catch for out number three, and that does it for the Springers in the first, but they strike first in the first, scoring two runs on two hits. There was one Meesville error and one runner left on base. We've played half an inning. Cold Spring with an early 2-0 lead, as we will head to the bottom of the first inning with Meesville coming to bat. We're back in 1 minute right here on Total Country Bob FM. Back at Joe Schlaper Stadium in Shakopee as we are on to the bottom of the first inning as Cold Spring with an early advantage. Reese, did you have any scores of the Class C action going on in Springfield and in Milroy here this morning?
The last I saw it was 3-1 Fairmont leading over Jordan in that matchup, and I have not seen another score yet. I'm currently searching a little frantically trying to find this one.
We'll settle down. I bet we find one. It'll all get resolved as the throw down to second base, as we'll be ready to rock here in the bottom of the first inning as Nick Pennick back out onto the mound for Cold Spring. And Reese Pennick 2-0 for the Springers with 16 innings pitched, and he's done a pretty darn good job thus far.
Yeah, we use just a lot of kind of terms for him, the kind of gritty, grimy pitcher, just a kind of a workhorse up there. But he's done good. 15 innings pitched in this state tournament, 3 earned runs given up. He's allowed 10 hits, 4 walks, and struck out 5 during the process. So he's not going to strike everybody out. He's not going to minimize your hit intake by any means, but he's keeping the earned runs and the overall runs low. So that's all that matters.
Keeps in the ball game as his first offering to the leadoff man is Joey Werner. It'll be Werner, Matt Vanderposh, and Derek Marks due up for Meesville here in the first inning as they look to get back to even here as Cold Spring with that early 2-0 lead on the Barth bomb as the 1-0 pitch is laced into the left field corner as Olsen cuts it off, digging for two. Boy, this guy can fly as Joey Werner, a stand-up double. He galloped his way to second base right there.
When you know you got the speed like Werner does, I guess, you just get your bat on something and try and push it the other way, which is exactly what happened. Pennick trying to go back door on that one. He just slices it down that left field line. Nice play by Olsen to get it cut off, but once again, Werner just too fast, not even a play at second base.
See that text from Dad? Dad done with his move, and he's enjoying a little Springer baseball this afternoon, listening back in Cold Spring. As the first pitch swinging, and there's a ball by Vanderbosch hit into center field. Hansen's going to play it on a hop. Werner with a tough read right there, Reese, because it was hit so hard that he had to freeze, so he only makes third base, and it's a double and a single on back-to-back pitches for the Meesville Mudheads.
Even if Werner does get a good read on that one, probably a good job to staying still at third, even with his speed. Hansen with a good arm out in center, and you got nobody out in the bottom of the first, a chance to get these two runs back, so don't run into an out if you don't have to.
Pretty seasoned little meat of the order for Meesville as well, as Derek Marks starts that. As he steps into the batter's box with runners at the corners for the Mudhens. They trail by two as Pennick's first offering, squaring to bunt and taking a strike right there is Derek Marks. You gathered before the game this guy was state MVP 2016?
Yep, their first of the back-to-backs. He had the MVP mark on that one, the five-hitter Nate Hammes winning the MVP in 2017. So Meesville doing it with the sticks.
0-1 pitch missing low from Pennick. Now 1-1. Cold Spring got two in the first. Meesville looking to answer back right away in their half of the frame. As Pennick set, runners at the corners for the Mudhens. As the 1-1 pitch to Marks is in there for a strike. Nobody out for Meesville, so Pennick would love him a strikeout right here to set down Marks without the runners advancing. It's Vanderbosch at first base, Werner at third base. As the two-strike pitch, that's missing low right there. Little nibble from Pennick. Evens our count up at 2-2. Nice crowd on hand here today at Joe Schlaper Stadium. Beautiful afternoon to watch ball, and we appreciate you joining us right here on Total Country Bob FM. As Penix set, 2-2 picks. That is a broken bat. This is very softly hit. They'll get a run. Barth comes up throwing, and he does throw out Derek Marks, 6-3. Too slow for a double play, Reese, and it got the run in for Meesville, so they'll take that to cut the lead in half.
Yeah, that's the only play on that one. Broken bat, just a tough luck. If he gets full wood on it, he's probably turning two. Marks not with a lot of great speed on that one running down to first, but just a slow roller. Barth makes the only play he can in the bottom of the first inning, and that's the first base.
As Austin Ledoux into the batter's box with the tying run and scoring position for Meesville here. That is Matt Vanderbosch, the center fielder for the Mudhens. He's at second base. First pitch swinging. Healthy hack from Austin Ledoux. Meesville up there hacking these first three of the first four hitters, Reese. They're coming after that 0-0 from Penick.
Yeah, must have saw something in one of the earlier games in the tournament. Really doing a good job of trying to jump on him early.
A one pitch is chopped foul up the third base line as Penick getting ahead of Austin Ledoux. Coltspring looking to place in the final three, something they've done more than any other team in state amateur baseball. Nine-time champion, where they got like four runners-up.
Four runner-up and eight third-place finishes. I know the eight is the most in the state.
For thirds.
Yes.
As this pitch is popped up to right field, one away, so tagging at second is Matt Vanderbosch. It is caught cap high by Joe Dempsey. His throw comes all the way to the bag, and safe at third is Matt Vanderbosch. So a loud fly out right there for Austin Ledoux from Meesville is out number two.
Pretty strong arm by Dempsey on that one, bringing it in all the way to the cutoff man from Barth. No play at third with where the ball was hit, but might want to watch that arm from Dempsey. Really all the Springer outfield arms. Ample.
Thanks. That's class kind of B for you. You don't find those holes out there like you do in the junior circuit. As Nate Hammes to the plate, looking to clutch up here from Meesville and tie this thing up with a base knock, as at third base is Matt Vanderbosch, is the first offering from Penick. Missing right there to Nate Hammes, designated hitter for the Meesville Mudhens. Springer outfield and infield playing very deep. On Hammes is Penick's 1-0 pitch. That's smashed in the air to center field. Hansen is right on it, and now he has to drift back a little bit. He does make the catch as that ball just kind of took off on him at the end, but he does put it away, Reese.
I think he thought that one was just maybe one or two steps over his head, and really it was about four or five. Off the bat, that made a powerful pop. I kind of thought that was going to go a lot farther, but luckily it stays in the park, and Hansen makes the play.
For Meesville in the first inning, they score one run on two hits. There were no Cold Spring errors and one runner left on base. We have played one inning here at Joe Schlaper Stadium. Our score now reads 2-1 in favor of the Springers against the Meesville Mudhens. We're back with the second inning coming up in 1 minute on Total Country Bob FM. Top two we go. In the top of the second, it'll be the bottom of the Cold Spring order as they look to add to their one-run lead as Brad Olson starts things off. His first offering from Connor Malcolm, missing low for a ball. It'll be Olson, Jaron Terrace, Alex Jungles for the Springers as Malcolm right back. His 1-0 pitch, that's hit in the air to center field. That's where Vanderbosch roams. He jogs back to his left a little bit, makes a catch cap high for out number one. There's no wind here, Reese, but the ball seems to have a little life to it today up in the air.
Yeah, both teams really jumping on it early. Seen a lot of connections off the bat, a lot of great sounds too. That one I was kind of looking away for a second, and another one that kind of popped off it. So maybe on a quiet day we might see some fireworks.
Jaron Terrace into the batter's box. Jaron's uncle Nate Willenbring here today, Reese, and his outfit is the pride of Cold Spring baseball right now, huh?
I bet he's wearing his Ricori underwear underneath that Springer shirt, Rocky hat. Got most of them knocked away.
Congratulations to David Jonas and Tom Ficker and the entire Cold Spring Rockies for advancing to the Elite Eight. They'll play tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock in Springfield. You'll be there.
I will.
You wouldn't miss it for the world.
I would not, no.
As the 1-1 pitch to Terrace from Connor Malcolm, that moves our count to 2-1 as it misses down and away. If I'm going to be there, remains to be seen. We've got to see what happens between Watkins and the Springers here today to determine where Randy sends me on my my journey on Sunday tomorrow. Keep you updated on that throughout the day here. Don't forget, Randy Rostein will be live from Springfield with Don Heinen at 3 o'clock on KASM for the Watkins Clippers. Bird Island Bullfrogs matchup as the 3-1 pitch popped up by Terrace. Catcher Morris over for a look by the dugout. He has room and makes a play right in front of the net. That's using every inch of the ballpark right there.
Yeah, really nice job there by the catcher Morris. Not exactly textbook. I know they teach you to get to the fence, find it just like an outfielder, and then work your way back towards the ball. He just kind of went for the ball there, and the netting came a little bit with him, but everything's intact, and he gets the out. That's a nice play.
So two quick ones for the Springers here in the second inning as ninth place hitter Alex Jungles comes to the plate. Juggy was our Albany and Richmond A&W postgame player of the game last Sunday evening in that semifinal matchup with Moorhead Reese. He had a great Sunday night.
Yeah, 4 for 5, 2 RBIs in that one for Jungles. He is currently fourth on the Springer team in hits coming into the state tournament. He is 7 for 14.
He's hitting .500 and he's fourth on the team in hits?
Well, let me rephrase that. They got three guys all with 7 hits coming into this one. Dempsey actually just picked up his 8th, so we'll give him 3rd place.
Alex, as Juggy looks at a strike after 2 wide ones from Connor Malcolm, Cold Spring boys were hitting the first couple weekends, both in B and in C, as the 2-1 pitch, that's missing for a ball. Springers, you ran through the bracket before. What'd they do? Against Anoka, they had a big win against
10-0 in the first round against Anoka, and the second round was 9-5 over Elko last Saturday.
Jungles will not match Joe Dempsey in the hit column because he has walked on 5 pitches right there, and that turns the lineup over to Brian Hansen. Hansen, his second at-bat in as many innings as he reached on an error his first time up. As Hansen bounced out, or he reached, yeah, again, reached on an error. He bounced over to Max Gamm, and Gamm with the tough play in the 5.5 hole, as Reese alluded to, came around to score on the Barth homer as this pitch fouled into the netting by Hansen, who's having quite the tournament himself.
7 for 16, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs coming in for Hansen. He hits the first one on the ground hard in the first inning, and Springer's open it up after that. You got to maybe think, maybe late in this count, he might be looking for something deep here with the power he's got.
They lead 2-1 to Cold Spring, as we are here in the top of the second inning. Their 2 runs coming on a 2-run home run from Jordan Barth into the pine trees in left center field. As 1-1 the count now right now to the Springer center fielder, Brian Hansen. Right-hander, Connor Malcolm set. His 1-1 offering to Brian, missing down and away. Now 2-1. Left fielder, Brendan McKevitt, awfully deep in left. Center fielder, Vanderbosch, playing straight up in center. As 2-1 the count. As Malcolm's 2-1 pitch, that's missing inside to Hansen, and Reese will see if Brian gets something to get aggressive with here on 3-1.
You know, we noted a lot of deep defensive positionings here in this Class B state tournament, but, you know, even with this park, 330 down the lines, 355 to the gaps, it's a little more shallow for the B side, so I'm not surprised to see everyone playing a little bit more back when the top of the order gets up.
3-1 pitch is in there for a strike to fill it up at 3-2, so Jungles, who walked, will get the free head start over at first base with 2 down. First baseman Austin Ledoux backs up to play behind him. There he goes as the 3-2 pitch in there. Strike 3. Hansen had the bat flip on his way to first base, but the plate umpire punches him out. And now Brian having a word with the ump as he clearly thought that was high.
Yeah, disagreement there. Maybe not a show up by the bat flip by Hansen. More or less just kind of a late strike call by the ump. I'm sure that's something Brian's letting him know about. Just call it right away. But tough luck there leaving the guy on.
Hansen still talking with him, and the ump following him all the way back to the dugout as their conference has come to an end. That does it for Cold Spring in the second. They scored no runs on no hits. There were no Meesville errors and 1 runner left on base. 1.5, Cold Spring 2, and Meesville 1. State tournament baseball in Class B here at Joe Schlaper Stadium. We will be back in 1 minute on Bob FM. Bottom of the second here at Joe Schlaper Stadium as Max Moritz looks at a first pitch strike from Nick Pennick, the Springer ace, as the 1-strike pitch hit on the ground sharply towards second. On that first hop, fielded by Garrett Fox, flips over to Jaron Terrace at first base for a 2-pitch out number 1. Reese, scoreboard update from Springfield and from Milroy.
Through 5, we have Fairmont taking a 5-1 lead over Jordan in that one. And St. Patrick scoring 6 runs in the top of the third and top of the second. They now hold a commanding 12-2 lead in the bottom of the third over the Carver Black Sox.
Then the bottom of the third inning at 1:30?
I believe that's what I'm reading.
Oh, yeah. Those were noon games. Okay. I thought they were 11 o'clock
yep.
games.
Okay.
Yeah, my bad. I was going to say, wow, 2.5 hours for for 2.5 innings.
A little Jeez. Rough.
If that was last Sunday, as this pitch hit on the ground foul up the third baseline by Brian Sprout, if that was last Sunday during the Rocky Buckman game where Kurt and I had to make it here, as did you, that would have been pretty, you know, my anxiety would have been through the roof there.
Yeah, that might have been difficult.
2.5 hours for 2.5 innings. 1-1 the count as the plate umpire with a word for Brian Sprout. He's back behind catcher Drew Bolson now as Pennock comes home. His 1-1 offering, missing for a ball, moves our count to 2-1. Springer faithful with some yips on that call. Pretty good looking pitch right there from Pennock as he comes back with his 2-1 pitch. That's waved at and missed by Brian Sprout. Moves our count to 2-2. Now, we've had this conversation a few times, Reese, as we see Nick Pennock out there, and we know plenty of people who ask about baseball and like to talk baseball. Is the 2-2 pitch just missing right there? As the check down to first base by Bolson, base umpire says no. People say, so what's so special about this Pennock kid? Does he throw gas? Is he pretty crafty? And we having watched him pitch now, don't really have an answer to that.
Yeah, maybe as we see a base hit there by Brian Sprout up the middle off Pennock. Maybe if we got to see like a Fox track or something, maybe where his pitches are going, not the best angle up here. He's got to be obviously spotting everything he's throwing because there's not really a whole lot of contact. He has yet to give up an extra base hit, I believe, in about 16 innings of work.
Other than the leadoff double
today.
Yeah.
Today, excuse me. That was the first of his. So making the teams go base to base, which can be a difficult thing.
And does anyone besides like Joey Werner or Brian Hansen or like a fast guy make that a double? That wasn't exactly. You wouldn't say like, oh yeah, that was a double.
No, not an automatic double by any means. It was for Werner, but for 9 times out of 10, it would not be.
Here's a ball hit softly to third. Van Lloyd to second for one. Fox's relay and around the horn go the Springers. There's kind of Nick Pennock for you right there, Reese. He gets that that ground ball when he needs it.
Yeah, a lace ground ball for the first out, a lace single for the second batter, and then McKevitt there, or excuse me, Gam there with the 5-4-3 double play. That one was hit hard too, but nice play by Van Lloyd to his left. As long as you keep having your defense make plays and can keep throwing balls that they can make plays on, you're going to be fine.
Springer's turn two to retire the Mud Hens here in the second for Meesville. No runs on one hit, no Cold Spring errors, nobody left on base. We've played 2-1 in favor of Cold Spring in the loser's bracket of the State Amateur Baseball Tournament in Class B here at Joel Schlaper Stadium. We're on to the third inning coming up in 1 minute on Bob FM. Top of the third here at the Joe as Garrett Fox stands in for his second look at Connor Malcolm here getting it going for Cold Spring in the top of the third inning as they lead by one. It'll be Fox, Barth, and Dempsey as the one-strike pitch fouled into the netting by Fox, who had a nice start to the tournament, Reese. A little cool-off last weekend for Garrett.
Yeah, he goes 3-for-5 in game one against Anoka, but then after that, last weekend, 1-for-6 in the Elko game and 0-for-6 in the Moorhead Brewer game, so 1-for-12 weekend. Kind of uncharacteristic of what we've seen out of Garrett Fox in the state tournament.
Nice take right there by Garrett on 0-2 as that pitch just missing off the plate with the off speed. Moves our count to 1-2 as Connor Malcolm comes right back. His 1-2 offering to Fox, that's missing down and away once again. Daunting task, it looks like, Reese, when you kind of take the 2,000-foot view of the situation. Winning 4 games in for Cold Spring, it'll be 2 days in B-ball, and for C-ball, it'll be 4 games in 4 days for the Rockies. It's a tall order.
Yeah, even if you have a bevy of pitching, that's just a tough thing to do. You got to show up for every one of those games, and I know both these teams have a little bit, but you know, it's not like they're stacked with it by any means. So you got to be a little efficient here, got to be economic, know your guys, but at the same time, you just got to keep winning.
Survive in advance, I believe, is what one of my favorite 30 for 30s was, and that's basically all you have to do looking into it. As Fox pops out to first baseman Austin Ledoux here, as Jordan Barth into the batter's box. JB with a nice little start to his Saturday, Reese.
A little two-run home run to left center field. Believe that was a 1-0 pitch to Barth on that one.
I think it was a 0-1 pitch as Malcolm right back. This 1-0 pitch that is in there for a strike. I think Jordan took a curveball for a strike, and then he came in with a heat, and he deposited that over the left center fence. 1-1 the count right now as Malcolm's 1-1 to Jordan Barth. That's missing down and away. Jordan about to start his senior campaign at Augustana.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be the operative word right there. as the 2-1 pitch that's on the corner for a strike to Barth. As burning that corner is Connor Melcombe, and that makes the count 2-2. As the 2-2 pitch to Barth, that's missing low ball 3 with the off-speed pitch. Barth to be followed by Joe Dempsey for Cold Spring here in the first inning. 2-1 in favor of the Springers. Cold Spring scoring 2 in the first. Measville comes back with 1 as this pitch is skied in the air to short center field. Shortstop Gam will give way to the center fielder, Matt Vanderbosch, and he'll catch that one as Barth retired on the soft pop-up.
All right, big out there for Melcombe, trying to break up the Barth-Dempsey combo a little bit for the Springers. That 3-4 combo was coming into this game at 16 for 30 on the tournament, a little over 500. Obviously, Barth with the 2-run home run in the first. Dempsey follows it up with a double, almost goes out on his own. So if you're Melcombe now, this is exactly what you wanted. Joe Dempsey up to bat with 2 outs and nobody on.
As 2 away, that will bring Joe Dempsey to the plate. Dempsey, the very next pitch after the Barth 2-run home run, pounded a double high off the wall in deep left center field. Obviously, it's deep if it was high off the wall. Thanks for that clarification, Curb. As 1-1 the count right now, as Malcolm's 1-1 pitch, that is popped up foul and out of play by Dempsey. Just a pure hitter, Joe Dempsey, Reese.
Nobody works harder in the cage. If you've ever played a baseball game at Cold Spring Baseball Park while he's out in the cage, it is a sight to see, and I believe that's why he gets the nickname that he does.
He's in my lineup card as Joey Dryhacks, as he skies this one in the infield. Second baseman is Brian Sprout. He's out to make the catch in short right field, and that does it for Cold Spring in the third, as they are retired in order here in the third. No runs, no hits, no Measville. There's nobody left on base. 2.5, 2-1 our score in favor of Cold Spring. On to the bottom of the third inning. That's coming up right here on Total Country Bob FM. Back at Joe Schlaper Stadium on Total Country Bob FM. It is the loser's bracket of the state amateur baseball tournament. Each of these teams trying to make their way into the state championship, and it would take 3 wins to do so for each of them, as Brendan McKevitt leads things off for Measville here in the third. Only man not to bat thus far for the Mudhens, as he looks at a strike on a square around bunt that was pulled back on by McKevitt, as Pennock comes right back and drops an off-speed pitch in there for strike number 2. Another kind of prototypical Nick Pennock performance here for this at-bat. Reese, as you bluff a drag bunt and you think it's outside, but it does end up hitting the corner, and then he drops a nice curveball in there. Next thing you know, you're 0-2.
Yeah, it spots all day with Pennock, and I think that's why we talked about last week. You're just not seeing a lot of balls crushed off him, because if you're not throwing it over the plate, it makes it – you got to be a really good hitter to get some good wood on it.
1-2 pitch just missing right there from Pennock. Lineup turns over to Joey Werner on deck as this pitch hit on the ground toward short, fielded by Barth on a medium hop, throw across the diamond in time to retire Brendan McKevitt. 6-3 for out number 1, and the lineup does turn over. As Joey Werner into the batter's box, scored the lone run for Measville thus far.
Nice play there by Barth. I think we talked about this a little bit last weekend, too, with the Rockies missing their starting shortstop last week. Your shortstop can just make a difference. It is unbelievable. The Springer defense is just a different team when you get Jordan Barth playing shortstop for you.
The shortstop gets the most balls. That's why you put your best infielder there. As this pitch is hammered into the left field corner. Olsen over for a look, but that ball will twist foul. That ball went a long way, as probably the sign says 330. Olsen ran to about the 320 mark and looked over, and that ball was fouled by about 48 feet right there. That was quite the poke.
Yeah, Werner going
Warner.
To his left again on that one, going the opposite way with it. 22-year-old Joey Werner, currently playing baseball at Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
As the one strike pitch evens it up at 1-1. It's funny, when you said Texas A&M, you had me like drooling, like what? And then Corpus Christi, it's like, oh. So that's like a junior or a Division II school or something in Texas, you would assume?
I believe they were... Yeah, I think it's a JUCO. I actually do, looking into it a little further, it looks like he is now at Minnesota State Mankato, so maybe a year or so down there, and now coming back up north to play for Matt Moggers and the Mavericks.
Maverick, just like you.
Just like me.
As the two-strike pitch is fouled off by Werner. 2-2 the count. 22 years old, so would he be done with school at that age? He'd almost he'd be pretty close, not?
I think he's bounced a little bit.
Okay.
It looks like he only has 2 years of stats, so might have taken him a little bit.
He hits the ball on the ground here. Look at him run, Reese. He hits it to second baseman Garrett Fox. Fox has it roll up his arm and lands in short right field. Dempsey's playing way back in right. Hansen plays a pretty deep center field as well. Fox has it roll off of his arm and go up about 15 feet behind him or so. Warner never stops out of the box, and it's a two-base error as he gets into second base.
I think that's the second time we've said that not everybody gets the second on that ball, but Joey Warner does. And Fox kind of just getting caught playing that one back a little bit. Maybe should have came up and charged. Can't really blame Dempsey for playing deep. Warner obviously showing a little bit of power with that first swing going to left field. So with him playing back and just that perfect ball off of Fox, he gets second, no problem.
Long run for Dempsey and Hansen. Fox probably should have just turned around and went and got it right away as a pickoff attempt by Penick, and back safely at second is Warner. So if he's at Mankato and Barth's at Augustana, these two know each other from the old NSIC. 1-0 the count to Matt Vanderbosch. One away here with the tying run at second base for the Mudhens. Very good part of their order right here is Vanderbosch, Marks, Ledoux, and Hammes. All coming up for the Meesville Mudhens. 2-0 the count as Penick set, staring out at Warner as this pitch is hit on the ground up the first baseline, but foul moves our count to 2-1. So if I gave you five choices for your five favorite team names in amateur baseball, would the Meesville Mudhens be on that list?
I think so. Just off the top of my head, yeah, I've always been a fan of that one. Hadley, another good one.
You
I've
got
always
the Buttermakers. I've always just really liked Mud Hens. I don't know why they put hens on their hat. It just makes me laugh.
That's, yeah, you get a little, you know, Casey at the bat kind of feel to it. It's got an old school style and name.
2-1 the count to Matt Vanderbosch as this pitch fouled at home plate. Now 2-2. Now my favorite team of all time doesn't exist anymore. You know that, the Harding Dinosaurs.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that because that's always been a favorite nickname of mine. It's really dumb.
It makes no sense.
It's so stupid to not name it something, a specific dinosaur, but just to say, no, we're the dinosaurs.
All of them.
Every last one of them.
2-2 pitch. That's hit on the right side. Terrace will field. He's got to hurry here as he flips it to Penick. A nice play right there by the Springer first baseman and pitcher as Penick gets over nicely with the PFP as Warner, of course, scoots up to third base. As two away now for Derek Marks.
You really wonder, I always wonder with a guy like Warner with that type of speed, almost how do you coach that being the question? Because when I manage a little bit, I played, you know, kind of a conservative approach, don't like running into an ounce. And here's a guy who can just run all over the place. And you almost want to just tell a kid like that, hey, green light all the time.
Keep
you,
going.
You see what you want, go get it.
Keep running. Two away, a big spot here early as the first pitch swinging for Derek Marks. He pops it up. Dempsey right on it in right field. And a big out right there, ending the Meesville threat with the runner at third, Reese.
A nice job once again by Penick. I think we talked about that pregame. You know, he's showing that he can allow guys to get on base and not bring them in. Even that first run that Meesville scored in the first inning, he was in a tough jam, two guys on, nobody out, and he gets out of it with one run. So if he can keep these crooked innings low, he might have a shot to keep the Springers in this game.
Seems to be what's been working for him thus far. As for Meesville in the third, no runs on no hits. There was one Cold Spring air and one runner left on base. Three in the books here at the Joe. 2-1 in favor of Cold Spring. The scoreboard still reads. On to the fourth inning in 1 minute right here on Bob FM. Fourth inning here at Joe Schlaper Stadium. Host site of the Class B State Amateur Baseball Tournament as Drew Bolson steps into the batter's box for his second at-bat. First pitch swinging and over for a look is Austin Ledoux on the foul ball. Austin near the warning track has room to make the catch for out number one. Four straight outs, Reese, for Connor Malcolm, all soft pop-ups.
Yeah, he's doing good with that. No surprise they're out of Bolson. That's his sixth pop-out of this tournament in four games. Something he's been doing a lot, but Malcolm, yeah, these aren't even really hit hard. They're just little numbers, and he's making guys miss after a couple mistakes in the first inning to the Springers.
Van Loy steps into the batter's box. Shakopee, the host for all the B games here in the state tournament, after New Ulm backing out of the state tournament hosting this year. It was going to be New Ulm with their two parks as well as Springfield. New Ulm backs out. Shakopee says, we'll do all the B games, which is kind of nice. I mean, as far as B goes, this is pretty central location. I mean, I know the Moorheads and those teams aren't in love with driving to Shakopee, you know, potentially three times in a weekend, but it's a good spot.
Yeah, but I mean, even for the Moorheads, though, as far as B places that you can host it, I mean, it really can't get much easier than this. I know it's still 2 hours away, but anything more is going to be to the south, and that's going to take them even longer. So they got to be satisfied with just going a little bit south of the metro.
3-1 pitch is in there for a strike to Van Loy, who flew out to first baseman Ledoux his first time up as Drew's payoff pitch to him is missing low for a ball. He's aboard with a one-out walk. Brings Brad Olson to the plate for Cold Spring.
So far, Van Loy threw about 3.5 state tournament games. He's got 4 hits in the tournament. Not bad out of your 6-hole, but he's got 3 walks and a hit by pitch. So really doing a good job kind of changing his stance a little bit, just trying to get on base here for the Springers.
Get that guy who for the Springers for, what, about a decade was a meat of the order guy. Now he's in the 6-hole and kind of a different role for Drew.
Yeah, and you got to respect a, you know, older player like him kind of saying, I got a different role in this team. I don't need to drive gaps. You know, we got Dempsey and Barth to do that. I got to get on base and try and set the table for this late order that's been doing well.
One strike pitch to Brad Olson, missing down and away. Evens us up at 1-1. 2-1 our score here in Shakopee. Cold Spring with 2 in the first on a Barth home run. Measville came right back, got a run themselves as Derek Marks knocked in Joey Werner. 1-1 the count. As Malcolm set, 1-1 pitch to Olson, hit on the ground towards second. Fielded nicely by the second baseman. He goes to second for one. Gam's relay is not in time as Olson hustling down the line. Tough to beat that out, Reese, as hard as he hit it, but Brad did get there to negate the double play.
Yeah, just a ball on a line, one step to the left and a hard hop for Brian Sprout. Easy enough play to make. Kind of a slow turn there when he got it to Gam. By the time Gam got it, he had to come up firing, and Olson beats it by just a hair.
So Olson trades spots with Van Loy as Jaron Terrace into the batter's box for Cold Spring with 2 down. As the first offering to Terrace, missing down and in from Connor Malcolm. Gone the distance thus far for Measville. As Malcolm gets the sign from his catcher, Max Morris, as this pitch is hit in the air, hit on the ground up the middle, fielded by the shortstop Max Gam, who flips to second baseman Brian Sprout to retire Olson. That does it for Terrace and the Springers in the fourth inning. They score no runs on no hits. There were no errors. And one runner left on base after 3.5. Still 2-1 in favor of the Cold Spring Springers. On to the bottom of the fourth inning. That's 1 minute away right here on Total Country, Bob FM. Bottom of the fourth on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Happy Labor Day weekend to you all. Kirby Hemish and Reese Hemish with you here for Bob FM. Following the Cold Spring Springers today as they try to make it to tomorrow. Got to win 2 today to live to see another day. The fourth inning for Measville starts with Austin Ledoux, their cleanup hitter. He looks at a couple balls from Nick Pennick. Pennick has gone the distance thus far, starting his fourth inning, giving up the one run, which was earned. As this pitch, 2-0, hit on the ground towards third. Van Loy up with it to his left. Throw across the diamond is in time. Nice play right there by Drew Van Loy, Reese, is not an easy little flip across the diamond. That ball traveled.
Yeah, Van Loy kind of notorious for playing a little deep for third baseman. He doesn't come up. He knows he's got a strong arm. So if you're third baseman, there's nothing wrong with that. Just sit back on everything, gather yourself, and it's kind of the Miguel Sano approach when he used to play third. Just sit back, fire a bullet across the diamond, and get it in the air as the slide there by Ledoux. I don't know if that tangled up with Terrace or not. Jaron looked a little unhappy with that one after the head-first slide.
As that brings Nate Hammes to the plate, as Hammes looks at a first-pitch ball. 1-0 the count as Pennick right back. Springer starter missing down and away now 2-0. Fell behind 2-0 to Ledoux, who then hit that smash to Van Loy at third base. As Pennick's 2-0 pitch, it's cut on and missed. That's the Measville approach right here. Get to 2-0 and swing real hard.
That was a tough one. That was about 59 feet on that pitch. A little short there.
2-1 pitch is fouled at home plate by Nate Hammes. Evens our count up at 2-2. 2-2 the count. Springers lead 2-1 over the Meesville Mudhens today. Not a cloud in the sky here in Shakopee as the 2-2 pitch swung on and missed. And out on strikes is Nate Hammes for strikeout number one of the afternoon for Nick Pennick.
Nick does a good job there. Like you said, he falls behind 2-0, which you don't want. You get the batter Hammes to cut at the ball in the dirt on 2-1, on 2-0 to get that first strike, and then you just start working your way back from there. Didn't really think I'd see that approach from Hammes after the first two takes, but anyway, you grill it up for Pennick, he gets him going.
So two quick ones for Nick Pennick as Max Morris, the catcher for Meesville, steps into the batter's box. Bounced out to Garrett Fox, his first time up, as the one-strike pitch missing inside from Pennick, who I now see, Reese, has he started the game with a sleeve on his right arm. And he took that sleeve off in the first inning, and he now has white sleeves. Now he has two black sleeves on, and again, our favorite rule in the book is you got to have those equal sleeves.
Yeah. So was it just the one black sleeve to start, or did he have a white one on?
He had a white one on his left arm, or on his right arm, excuse me, as the 2-1 pitch knocked into right field by Max Morris. A solid knock right there with two outs for the Mudhens as they pick up their fourth hit. He had a white sleeve on his right arm that the umpire made him take that off. And then he pitched with no sleeves there in the first inning, and now he has the three-quarter sleeve on each arm for innings 2, 3, and 4.
I'm okay with it if they made him remove a white one. I still don't think that does a whole lot to obstruct a hitter's view, but I mean, I get it. It's the same color as the ball. Now the one black sleeve, one no sleeve on your left arm when you make a guy change, that's the one I disagree with.
First offering to Brian Sprout in there for a strike. So you mentioned the fact that if it was a white one, what about teams who have white jerseys and stuff like that? That doesn't bear any difference to you?
I guess not, no.
Okay, there we go. Done and done. One strike pitch, that's popped up foul and out of play to Brian Sprout. Count moves to 0-2. Man on, two away for Meesville in the fourth. Cold Spring leads by one. Winner of this game gets Moorhead at 4 o'clock here on your Saturday afternoon. If the Springers are playing in it, we'll have that game for you right here on Total Country Bob FM. As Pennick set his 0-2 offering, missing down and away, moves our count to 1-2. One and two the count with two away. Brian Sprout, the batter. He singled his first and only time up as he looks at a pitch down and away right there. Even us up at 2-2. Warner has a double. Vanderbosch a single. Sprout a single. And Morris with that single we just seen. There's the four knocks for Meesville. Cold Spring has the two-run homer for Barth. And the next pitch was hit off the top of the fence by Dempsey where he doubled. 2-2 pitch. That's flipped foul. And we'll do the 2-2 over again. To number 22, Max Morris. We're at Brian Sprout, excuse me. Number 2, Brian Sprout. As Pennick set, the 2-2 pitch, that misses low, and that will give the real number 20, or the real number 2, Max Morris, a head start at first base. He'll take off here. 3-2, two away. As Pennick set, there he goes. Payoff pitch, that's hit into short right field. On the run, a nice catch by Garrett Fox. It's just a little soft line drive, Reese, that hung up there for Fox to make the play.
Really nice job by Fox going to get that. If he doesn't, obviously Morris running on that one gets to third. You set yourself up with a first and third situation with two outs. So crisis averted there for the Springers, and as Fox gets the out.
Nice catch by the Springer second baseman for Meesville in the fourth. No runs on one hit. There were no Cold Spring errors, and there was one runner left on base. Four complete here in Meesville. 2-1 our score in favor of Cold Spring. We're in Shakopee. It's Cold Spring versus Meesville. Back in 1 minute on Bob FM.